Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shaped the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome to Catholic Sports View. I'm your host, Bob Gibson, and we're on location this week at Modern Day High School. Later on this hour, we'll talk with one of the legendary athletes in Monarch history, the 2000 Gatorade Athlete of the Year, Tia Meza, who is now the athletic director of her alma mater. We'll also visit with the head water polo coach, Chris Segesman. But to kick off our special, we have with us the longtime head football coach, Bruce Rawlinson. Coach, thanks for making time for us.
No, I love it. This is important stuff, and obviously, you know, a longtime Catholic and a faith-based guy, I'm excited for this.
Obviously, that's an important aspect of what happens here in modern day. You know, we can start off with that. It is a Catholic high school. It is a faith-based community. Does everything really start from the ground up at that level?
Yeah, and it's a situation where, you know, you have a multitude. Probably, you know, you and I know that most of the kids are Catholic, but you have that percentage. I'm going to probably estimate maybe 30 in the football program. I can only talk about the football program that are non-Catholic. So you have to draw them in. It starts at the top. You know, I'm the example. I'm the guy that has to lead the charge. And I have my own certain way of doing it, my own certain beliefs, and how I present this package of faith. Because you and I know as adults, and me as an older adult, we can't do this alone. We cannot do this alone.
Absolutely.
And we are committed as teachers, as administrators here at Modern Day, to try to pass the message that there is a God, there is a Lord that watches out for us, and every kid's going to hear that message differently.
How much does it help that you've walked this journey yourself as a modern-day student? You know, you've been in the shoes of where these kids are now. How much does it help you to be able to talk about that to a kid who you know, who may be struggling or you know, who's first coming into this program, which is a big deal?
Well, you know, it helps tremendously. But what helps the most is experience. 28 years as the head football coach at Modern Day. I've seen it all. Attending the high school and getting that initial burst. And, you know, I'm a Holy Family kid. But at that age, it's more, let's get the sacraments done with. I don't think you're really understanding much of anything. And as old as I am, you know, you looked at priests and you looked at nuns and you were intimidated by them. I don't think you were really hearing anything that they said. Then the growth process really begins. And I was fortunate. I had a deep faith-based individual, Dick Corey, as our head football coach. And we were surrounded by men. Joe O'Hara, who tragically passed away shortly after we left high school. But the O'Hara family. But Joe O'Hara was a powerfully faith-based man. And they served as the examples. So you start to assimilate, again, it's not what they say, it's how they act. And people will say, Rawlinson's rough around the edges. But people that get to know me know where it all is centered around. That has helped tremendously as you experience life and the ups and downs of life. It's like I tell the kids, don't pray for victory because I don't really think God's listening, okay? Yeah, throw a word in that you don't get injured and maybe that helps. What you're praying for is the strength. What you're praying for is that, you know, in those critical times you make good decisions. But overall, just know that you're not doing this alone. And in a nutshell, Bob, is the fact that I just believe in daily prayer. And what my message is different. I tell them it's not about Hail Marys and Our Fathers. It's about, do you have 30 seconds in the morning? Do you have 20 seconds? Do you have a minute where you can't pop out of bed, hit your knees, and talk? You might have something coming up. You might have had a bad day the day before, but I usually try to pass a message that sometime in that evening, right before you shut her down, why not hit your knees and thank God for the blessings of that day and say, I need to go back and make some amends, you know? And obviously, as you can tell, that's where I'm at. The daily mass, communion, all of that is an extension of what I've learned. But it's prayer, you know, I've kiddingly said in games that I'm, you know, I've got my rosary beads in my pocket, but I actually do have them in my back pocket. Partly superstitious, partly because I'm going to stick my hand in my back pocket and say, if it be thy will. And again, I know that that's not going to have any bearing on it. But it reminds me that there's a bigger picture here that we're trying to accomplish. It's not just about winning and losing. It's about getting these men, when they get older, what are they going to teach their children? What personality are they going to present to people? Okay? Kids these days, Bob, they got a lot of temptations out there. Yeah, a lot of temptations. And if you don't have something to fall back on, if you don't have your faith, if you don't have a belief in Jesus Christ to fall back on, you're fighting a battle by yourself. And that's really, there's my message right there. Don't fight anything by yourself. Use the people that surround you, the adults and the experts, but ultimately, use God as your example.
And we're visiting with Bruce Rawlinson out here on location at Modern Day High School this week, our Modern Day special. Coach, you mentioned Dick Corey, the legendary.
Yeah.
You know, for somebody who would go on to become himself a legendary football coach, you couldn't have had a better mentor to start under, I would imagine.
No, and I learned, but again, you don't really realize until you get older the example that he set. Again, going to daily prayer. We spent a lot of time. You know, one of the traditions, and it's more difficult now, but one of the traditions in the off season, once a month, we attended Mass together at a different parish. I tried doing that during the 90s, but it became more difficult. And one of the things was, is parents approached me and said, we would rather have our son with us on Sunday. Okay. Another tradition was on Holy Thursday, we visited parishes and did Stations of the Cross. At that time, I will tell you, at 16 and 17 years old, that was a little torturous. But now, at my age, I go, wow, what a great lesson to learn. And it's molding everything. And what Coach was he was that example. He didn't use profanity. You know, yeah, once in a while I'm going to let it slip. Maybe that's, I don't make excuses. But the worst thing he would ever say is, oh, devils. And I have often said, okay, he's my example. If he can do it, I can do it. You know, it's things like that that allow you to reflect. And that's what you have to do on a daily basis. We do, all of us Catholic school coaches, teachers, administrators, we have a bigger mission than just educating the X's and O's of football, the goalies and then whatever sport, okay, or the formulas and the dates of history. We have to be examples of Jesus Christ.
How big a thrill, how much pressure, conversely, was it when you were named head football coach here, when you knew you were taking over this program? I imagine it had to be a dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in 1989, Father John Whaling, who was principal at the time, we didn't have the president model yet, brought me into the office and said, Bruce, I'm not interviewing everybody, it's your time. And it was an incredible feeling. I had no experience. I had never been a head coach. And I can guarantee you one thing, boy, I did a lot of reflection. And I made a lot of mistakes. And I made a lot of amends. Because I was totally wet behind the ears. But one of the first people I called was Dick Corey. I said, Coach, what do I do? Football-wise, he said, play great defense, okay? Don't let your offense get you in trouble. And carry on the traditions of the great high school. He goes, spiritually, Bruce, you're going to have to fall back on your Lord. It's going to be difficult. And there's been difficult times. There's been challenging times, whether it's with players' problems. I mean, when you're a football coach, you are a psychologist, you are a priest, you got to be a multitude of things. And you're dealing with things. Just recently, one of my boys, you know, his grandparent, it's the first death in the family that they've had to face. And experience allowed me to give him some strength. As a young coach, going back to your original question, I would be babbling, okay? But you have to walk them through. It's not just about running wind sprints and catching passes. there's a whole bigger picture, because their lives are in your hands and their emotions are in your hands. But what a great opportunity to say, okay, this is how you do this. Here's how I did it, tragically. Or, you know, both of my parents died right after. My dad had already died shortly before I got the head coaching job, which was devastating to me because he was my number one fan. Shortly after, my mom died. I look back, though, and I said, the Lord did that to give me a better ability to understand when an athlete, be it a football player or anybody, my students, were going through that, because I tasted it. I knew what they were dealing with. Again, the older you get, the more advice you can pass to kids.
We're visiting with the head football coach out here at Modern Day High School, Bruce Rawlinson. More on Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio when we come back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. We're visiting out here at Modern Day High School and devoting our entire hour this week to Modern Day. And we're talking with the head football coach, and that's Bruce Rawlinson. Coach, you know, you mentioned getting the job in 1989, becoming the head coach here after being an assistant here for some time and finally getting your chance. I believe it was 91 when you finally broke through, beating a great Eisenhower program out of Anaheim Stadium. I was there. I covered the game. I remember the look on your face and the kids and what a joyous time it was. It was a lot of fun to see all the happiness that that championship brought this program.
Well, I mean, that's the goal. And we were fortunate that 3 years after the third season, after taking over, that, you know, we were able to run the deck and bring the championship back to Modern Day. And, you know, I've often looked back, and one of the things you learn real quick, it's not the plays, it's the players. My job is to mold them together. And that was a great group of kids. They were unified. They did have a faith base. They were also flat-out good football players. And there was the talent you needed with Billy Blanton at the helm and you know, who at the time was setting Orange County passing records. And then you're surrounded by great coaches, because any guy that's sitting in this chair, I've never taken credit, okay? I let my offensive coordinator handle the offense. I let my defensive coordinator handle the defense. My philosophy is I'm going to keep everything, all the business stuff, away from them. They coach, I organize, and then ultimately I'm the motivator. I'm the guy that's got to bring them all together for the final push. And that's the way I've always run the program. You know, you could probably ask me to draw some of our plays. I can't. Okay? I'm a good cheerleader, though, when they work. But I'm not going to take credit. You have to surround yourself with good men. And early on, what I realized is it helps when you have family men. It helps when you have assistant coaches who have children. They have a way better grip on what's going on because they're living that in their own personal lives. Now, you can't get all married men, so you mix that with younger men who have a passion, who are not afraid to work. Because I'm going to grind you, you know, there's no doubt. We're going 7 days a week. We're not going to do anything that's not productive. And don't get me wrong, if the coach, you know, if we're going to start at 7 a.m. on Sunday and he wants to go to family mass at 9 a.m., fine, go, okay? But he knows what work needs to be done, so he might have to do a little bit more on Saturday, whatever. But the point being is that your football staff is your backbone. They have to be there. And I've had some of the, you know, my offensive coordinator, Dave Money's been with me for all 28 yeah. years. You know what I mean? And so he knows exactly what to do. Early on in the 90s, once we started rolling, one of the keys that I realized was bring ex-players back, okay? Whether they were attending college, whether they had graduated and were kind of in between what to do, because they drank the Kool-Aid. Because I am a tradition-based guy. What I did in 1991 in that first championship, we don't sway very far from those traditions. You know, we're still going to wear the stripes, pride, poison, courage on our helmet. We're still going to do the pride drill. We're still going to do the monarch march. Because what I've presented to the kids, I like, and you and I have learned this from men's retreats, put the kid in front of his peers. Yes, it's a little pressure packed, but have him share how he feels. We do that a lot. Especially when we're rolling in the playoffs. We will go in the locker room. I will pick out, and it's not all my starters. I will pick out the 72nd of the 75th player and say, what do you need to do for us to win the football game? Because they all have a role. But the overriding, what I'm trying to do is to get them to let their emotions out. You know, how do they feel? And now you're bonding them together. You know what I mean? It's a psychology. That end of football fascinates me. How did we get beat? They had better talent. You know, you got to realize that. What I want to do is make sure that we were prepared, that I gave them every opportunity to win the football game through preparation. Sometimes you can prepare and prepare and prepare, and it just wasn't your night. And I don't accept defeat lightly, but I understand defeat. But the whole psychology of winning and losing fascinates me. Fascinates me. Why did we play well last Friday? What happened this Friday? It's constantly on my mind. And then in the middle of that, you still have responsibilities to each kid. Because understand, I want you to put yourself in a position of a 16-year-old, and he's just failed three tests. Okay, and at lunch his girlfriend broke up with him, and he's not having a great practice.
And now he's got to think about football.
Yeah, exactly, and he's not having a good practice. Now you better be careful, because you jump down his throat too far, you're kind of the sheep killing dog. When you find out later on, well, he was distracted.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure, you can go macho and say, well, they should be concentrating on practice and all those other distractions. No, it doesn't work that way. So you got to have a pulse on where the kids are at. I try to know, okay, is it a single family household, okay? And I don't pry, and I don't, there's no questionnaires. You know. You start to learn. This kid has a more difficult situation. You know, this is a commuter school. I've got boys that have to leave Long Beach and Corona at 4:30, quarter to 5 in the morning.
Right.
Well, if he's not quite alert, because you know what, he's already put in 9-10 hours before we even practice. And that's why I've moved a lot towards trying to teach them about nutrition and about rest. And there's so much more information available. You know, what I did in the 90s, you know, and what I do now is somewhat different. In the approach, you have to watch out. These are big, fast, powerful kids. Back when I went to USC, I was fortunate to play under John McKay. And I remember hearing John McKay as a player. And I remember he did an interview and he said, if you don't understand thoroughbreds and plow horses, you'll never be a good football coach. Because you've got thoroughbreds that you've got to nurture and you got to know when to run them. And then you got plow horses that are there for you every day and do the work. But you can't do it with all plow horses. You got to mix the thoroughbreds with the plow horses. Right. And that's that psychology again.
And you led me right into my next question, and that was your time at USC, your time with John McKay. Obviously, the common thread with all of the football programs you've personally been involved in is the level that the program holds itself to. I mean, the bar is set so high at USC. The bar is set high here at Modern Day. I mean, is that comfortable to know that you yourself have set that personal bar so high, and so everybody else knows, you know, where they need to be?
You know, I did have a great mentor in John McKay, and I watched him because he fascinated me. I've told this story many times. You know, John McKay was not a rah-rah guy. He was not a big pep talk guy. We had Marv Goo to do that. We had other coaches to do that. John McKay was calm, relaxed, but he had the ultimate amount of faith in his athletes that permeated out of him, okay? He never got worried. He knew some way he'd find a way to win. And I think that rubs off on you, and that confidence rubs off on you. What I also watched was, this job is not just about on-the-field coaching, okay? I watched John McKay, and he was comfortable in the boardroom, he was comfortable in the banquet room, and he was comfortable on the field. And you have to be able to deal with parents, you have to be able to deal with teachers and administrators, and you have to be able to deal with kids. It's not just, you know, you're going to get in trouble if you're not a communicator, if you don't have the ability. Yeah, they're not always going to all agree with me, okay? But I feel confident in what the product I'm trying to present is, whether you agree or disagree. You know, modern-day high school is not for every kid. Bruce Rawlinson's not for every kid. There are loosey-goosey programs that might fit a kid better. But when they come in, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be a disciplined program. There are certain traditions that are not going to change. And you either drink the Kool-Aid and buy in, which a lot of them have, or it's okay if you move out and you go maybe do another sport or even change high schools.
Our final moments here with Bruce Rawlinson out here on our Modern Day Special. Coach, you talked about the plow horses and the thoroughbreds. Yeah. You know, we all remember the Billy Blantons and the Matt Leinarts and the Grudegoods, the great names that have come through the Modern Day system. But almost every coach, you know, I've ever talked to, some of the more prouder moments of their careers, and I imagine the same for you, are those kids who came in who maybe weren't as talented, but who ended up getting every ounce of ability because they worked so hard at it. Same for you, some of your prouder moments as a coach, to see a kid get just work hard and just get everything that they ever wanted out of it and finish up a four-year career here at, you know, at that level?
You know, Bob, I have two answers. One is I was very fortunate that I was able to coach Matt Barkley. Matt Barkley was one of the most powerful Christian young men I've ever been around. Matt Barkley, I'm telling you, even right now as he bounces from team to team in the NFL, Matt Barkley has such a strong faith. He truly believes, and that's what he taught me, God has a purpose for all of us. And Matt doesn't get worried about it. He took success, and he took adversity, and he just turned it over. And I watched that. And I actually envied him. And him and I had long talks about it. And it helped my growth at a time when we were doing okay. We're always going to do okay, but it wasn't like the 90s. The second thing that comes to mind is I'm way past winning and losing at this point. The success, the joyous moments, and don't get me wrong, I still hate to lose,
right.
And I love winning, okay? But you are so correct. When that phone rings and a boy that graduated 10 years earlier or 12 years earlier says, Coach, I got to tell you, I got a job promotion today. You haven't talked to me since I graduated. But the reason I got the job promotion is I have been practicing what you taught me about work ethic and dealing with adversity, and it's now paid off. I literally hang the phone up and go, yes, I love it. It's about life lessons. And if they can reaffirm to me that once in a while, I go, okay, I'm doing the right thing.
Coach, we want to thank you so much for joining us here at Catholic Sports. Good luck to you. God bless. And hang and keep going.
All right, we will.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I'm Bob Gibson, and joining us on our Modern Day Special is the head water polo coach at Modern Day High School, and that's Chris Segesman. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Great, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Once again, your team this season is off to a great start. This is just kind of old hat at Modern Day. I know it's not that easy, of course. A lot of time and work goes into it, but you know, how much fun is it when you see the beginning of a new school year, which means obviously the beginning of a new water polo season?
Well, it's great because it's a start of another journey, you know, and this team is on their journey to try to carry on the tradition that was set before them from the teams in the past.
you know, the bar is set so high for modern day water polo. When the kids come in here, the new kids, you know, do they recognize that right away? Is that made aware to them, or do they just kind of know, hey, this is a level we need to get to?
Yeah, I think that the seniors and the leadership from the older statesmen, they do a great job of teaching the young pups what it means to be a part of the modern day water polo program. So I think that every year it's a pretty smooth transition. They know the expectations, whether it's from the coaching staff or from the players that have been around for a while. We've been lucky enough that they step up to the situation and carry it on.
You obviously played water polo at very high levels, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want to ask you, is that fun for a player to take on that challenge, do you think? Or does that pressure, you know, sometimes get to certain guys?
You know, I think we welcome that pressure. We want to be under that pressure. We want to be, you know, the team that's hunted every year. And so I think we like to be in that situation.
You can obviously put yourself in the shoes of a lot of these players, especially the kids that come through here that have reached some of them Olympic levels, like yourself. Are you there to kind of lend your perspective, you know, to their journey as well?
Sure. I mean, I consider all these kids my children. You know, we're trying to mentor them to get them through their high school career, but get them prepared for the collegiate level, whether it's Division I water polo, Division II club, whatever it may be. We're just here to mentor them both as a water polo athlete, but as a young adult.
How much does it help that, you know, I mean, Southern California is obviously the jewel of water polo, and certainly in the United States. I mean, so many great programs are right here in Southern California. So it's not hard to find good competition to pitch yourself against.
Yeah, we play 100 plus games a year against great competition. So, you know, we're blessed to live in Southern California, where there's a lot of great water polo teams within a short distance, which gives us that opportunity to play as many games as we do, which helps these kids in the long run developing their skills and their talents.
You grew up in Southern California, Santa Barbara area, Dos Pueblos High School, went on to college at Cal State Long Beach. When did you know that water polo was going to be a big part of your life? How early on?
Well, I made the commitment in high school. Freshman year of high school was the first time I played water polo as a swimmer all my life until then. But back in the day, that was normal. Now club starts at age 8, so kids are playing water polo, not swimming. I think I really didn't develop my Olympic ambitions until I went to Long Beach State and I got to play under some amazing coaches that are former Olympic coaches. That motivated me and really opened my eyes to what was available to me in the sport of water polo. So I think that I always possess a great work ethic. You know, I just fell in love with the sport. I loved everything about it. And that helped me get to college. And once I got to college, I really got serious and decided I wanted to be an Olympian someday.
Is that really the key, is the work ethic? I mean, putting the hundreds and thousands of hours of time in the pool to even get to that level, to even get to the level to be a CIF champion, much less an Olympian.
Yeah, I think the work ethic is the base mentality, right? I think that you got to be willing to put in the work outside of just the normal hour and a half practice that you have. You got to be motivated to get better, whether it's weight training, whether it's, you know, conditioning in or out of the pool. I think you have to have that if you want to be competitive. Not everybody's going to be an Olympian. Not everybody's going to go to Division I colleges, but certainly if you want to be successful for your talent level, you got to have that work ethic.
Did you see that pretty quick yourself growing up, that the number of players that could be at that elite level gets smaller and smaller the higher you go? And at what point did you know you had a chance to be one of those kind of players?
Yeah, I think that my dad taught me work ethic from a young age. If you want to achieve something, you got to put a lot of time into it. So I didn't really necessarily know where my path was going to be. I just enjoyed playing high school water polo, enjoyed playing at Long Beach State, had a great group of guys around me. We had a lot of fun. I really didn't know if I was going to be an Olympian or not. I just joined the national team, and situations came to me, and I made the best of my situation and ultimately achieved the dream.
Three of your kids got to experience that for themselves, this past year. What was it like to see the experience through their eyes, knowing that, you know, obviously that you had gone through the same thing previously?
One of the proudest moments of my life. You know, I remember having lunch with the three of them, took them out to lunch before they left, and just asking them what they thought. Already been to Olympics, knowing how it works, giving them advice how to handle the situations. More proud as a coach of players going than I think I'm proud of myself of becoming an Olympian. It's a special thing. And just to watch them, you know, watch them through the Olympics, the text messages, the posts that they'd send me, whatever it may be, just it was truly an amazing 2 weeks for me to experience with them.
Obviously, it's a proud moment to wear your school colors when you represent your school and anything, but it's got to be something much more when you wear your nation's colors and put yourself up against the other best players in the world.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that flag and you hear the national anthem, sure brings on a whole new meaning when you achieve that level and you get to play for your country. Something that you'll never forget. They'll never forget. I think the best thing about having those three Olympians is all three of them are really good guys. You know, they come back all the time. They engage with my athletes now. They're just like another one of them, and that makes it even more special.
We're visiting with Chris Segesman, the head water polo coach out here at Modern Day High School. We're on location, our Modern Day special this week. I want to mention their names, Brett Bonanni, Quinn Barron, and Thomas Dunston are the three players that we're talking about. Obviously, these are three of the top guys to ever come through this program. Are these really the crown jewels of Modern Day water polo right now? And you know, can this be even a jumping board to take this program to even bigger heights?
Yeah, I mean, they're the three Olympians, right, of the history of this program. But there's other guys, you know, John Walters, who's no longer with us. He probably could have been in that exact same situation. Alex Weary was, you know, player of the year in our Hall of Fame. So we've had some amazing players come through. But again, to become Olympian, it's got to be something special. You know, it's got to be the right fit, the right moment. And those three definitely achieved that. For our program, I think having three Olympians it brings this program to a new level. I mean, three Olympians is something most high school programs don't ever get. And so we're extremely proud of them and extremely proud of where they've brought this program, you know, with that recognition.
When your playing career came to an end, was it a natural progression to go into coaching? Was that something you actively, you know, sought out?
You know, I always knew from a young age working with kids, I wanted to coach. I wanted to give back. I just had great coaches growing up that taught me that it's not just about winning or losing, but just really loving the sport. So I achieved the highest level, and I just felt I had a lot to give back. I wanted to mentor kids. I wanted to help them achieve their dreams, and luckily Modern Day gave me an opportunity to do that. So I think it's been a progression, just learning how to coach, right, learning how to motivate the high school level young adults, and it's taken a lot of time, but I think we're in a good place now.
Not every great athlete can transition into coaching. You know, sometimes that transition doesn't always apply to the coaching side. You really seem to have taken to it, you know, pretty easily, and your resume as a coach now obviously speaks for itself. I mean, was it just a natural thing?
It was tough. I mean, I really struggled, right? I was in the prime of my playing career when I took this job at Modern Day. Probably could have played two more Olympic games if I wanted to. So it was a tough transition for me, just understanding, you know, the level I'm coaching and trying to understand the expectations I should have for this level of this age group of kids. So I think it took me a long time to develop, you know, what it meant to be a coach at this level. And it's something I'm still learning every year, but I think I've been extremely blessed with a great administration here at Marty High School that supports me, and with great kids that have come through the program that have been totally committed to the goals we've set, and the parent support group has been amazing too as well. So I think you put that all together, it's been a recipe for success, and you certainly see that in what we've accomplished over the last 10 plus years.
You know, we talked about the level that this program obviously holds itself to, this athletic department holds itself to, but the level the school holds itself to. It's a religious institution, you know, Catholic high school. You know, how much of, you know, being a faith-based community, you know, plays into holding yourself to those standards?
Well, it's huge. You know, it gives us the opportunity to go to Mass as a team. It gives the opportunity to do outreach programs. And ultimately, you know, sports, there's such highs and lows in sports. And talk to all the kids about, you know, your rock has to be God. You know, your rock has to be your personal relationship with God in the good times, the bad times, your daily prayer. So I think that Modern Day is a special place because it allows the kids not only to grow athletically, but grow in their faith as well.
You touched on the, you know, John Walters, you know, who's here and tragically passed away, you know, a couple of years back. So you've seen the highs, you've seen the lows, you know, here at Modern Day. The program has obviously grown from that. I'm sure you personally too have grown from all these experiences.
Yeah, tremendously. I mean, I always joke, my assistant coach, we can write a book on what we've experienced here, and you probably cover every aspect of what a coach should experience. We've been through some tremendous lows, and we've been through some amazing highs, you know. But I think that at Marty High School, through your faith, it just keeps you grounded, keeps everything in perspective. And Helen Steves is amazing. She keeps our kids right on task, and she's really helped us, especially through the John Walters situation, which was something I don't ever want to experience again as a coach. We got through it just because of the faith and the support and everything that Modern Day has to offer.
How much does it help, too, that at this school there's so much stability? You know, Bruce Rawlinson, you know, the dean of coaches in this area. You know, so many great coaches here in the Modern Day community, and so many great people here in this athletic department.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we all learn from Coach Rawlinson, Coach McKnight. You know, they've been here for a long time, and they mentor the young coaches, and we all learn from that. We all aspire to be that successful here at Modern Day. I think that the special thing about Modern Day is all the coaches are extremely competitive. They want to build great programs, and I think that tends to bleed off onto the student athletes, you know, and the product you see out there when we compete.
When you look at the Trinity League, you know, finally, Coach, you know, it's another tough run, obviously, through this league. Is anything short of the ultimate goal this year, you know, state championships? Is anything short of that a disappointment for Modern Day?
No, like I said, we consider it a journey, right? OLU is a great team this year. San Margarita is playing really well. So we know we have our work cut out for us to even win Trinity League this year. But our ultimate goal really isn't Trinity League. Our ultimate goal is to be ready to go in November when CIF starts and put us in the best position possible to compete at the highest level for a CIF championship. And, you know, only time will tell whether we can accomplish that goal this year, but we're certainly working hard to achieve that.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks again, and good luck again this year.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anytime. Thank you.
Now is your chance to support Catholic education and the future of our Catholic faith. Subscribe to the OC Catholic newspaper today, and we'll make a financial contribution to the Catholic school of your choice. Simply visit OCCatholic.com/subscribe and select the school within the Diocese of Orange that you'd like to support, and we'll make a gift in your name. You also get the award-winning OC Catholic newspaper at your door with the OC Register newspaper every Sunday for 1 year. This is win-win all around. Go to OCCatholic.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Out here at Modern Day High School on location for our Modern Day special, and we get a chance to visit with Tia Meza, who was a legendary softball player here at Modern Day before coming back now to work here, and we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. But thanks for taking in some time to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having us. We're very excited to have, you know, you and be on radio with everyone here at Immaculate Heart. So thank you.
You got to start here, obviously, at Modern Day as a player. Gatorade National Softball Player of the Year in 2000. When you kind of reflect back on that time now, how special was it to come through Modern Day as a student athlete and be able to achieve the heights that you achieved out on the softball diamond?
You know, Bob, it was such an amazing time to be, you know, to be a student and be an athlete at Modern Day really is a privilege. I enjoyed every moment of it. We had so much fun, so many memories. But to be the first Gatorade National Player of the Year at Modern Day when we had such a history of great athletes truly is, you know, is a special place. And I've been fortunate to be here now with when Katie Lou won last or 2 years ago. So it was nice to be here as, you know, then a faculty member and staff and work with her with that. So it's been great.
You were Tia Bollinger back then, for everyone who remembers your playing career here at Modern Day. You gave up, one earned run that whole season. Do you actually remember that? I know so many players remember the one thing that went wrong rather than the 100 things that went right in a year.
I actually do. It's funny. You always do kind of remember some of those things. It was against Rosary High School. Rosary Academy now. But it was just one of those plays where, I mean, one earned run is pretty spectacular, but you know, it was a great season. I had great support from, you know, teammates, and I was very lucky.
Now, your father played professional baseball, correct?
Semi-pro.
Semi-pro, okay.
Yeah.
So growing up, was baseball and softball always in the family?
Oh, definitely. I mean, from 7, I started playing softball, but I did other sports. You know, here at Modern Day, I was actually a 3-sport athlete. Mm-hmm. I played water polo. I did a year of golf, you know, when both those sports came up as first years for females. So it was great to be able to do multiple things here at Modern Day, which we do have quite a few sport athletes now, but it's not the same as it used to be.
How special a place is this in Modern Day? I mean, you see both sides of it now. You're back here as a member of the faculty, but you know, when you really look at the entire campus, the entire experience, you know, how special is this school?
It truly is, you know, a place like no other. The family, the community, the type of care that our administration has, our faculty has, the parent involvement, you know, it really does make this place one of a kind. And that's, you know, now as an adult, I see the value in it. As a student, I enjoyed it. That's what everybody had. Everybody had the same experience. And now I know that's really not the case, that you're really lucky if you get to have this kind of experience that we have here in modern day.
Is it important for you to work on that now as a member of the faculty to make sure kids who come here and are getting that experience that you did?
Oh, definitely. You know, I was the director of admissions marketing, now being the athletic director. The experience is really important to me because I know that not everyone's going to be the star athlete or get the 4.5 GPA. And it really, when you look back, the experience, the memories, the opportunities those students get, that's what the kids are going to hold on to and remember.
In your playing career, when it ended here, you ended up at the University of Washington. Why the choice to become a Husky?
You know, the opportunity to play in the Pac-10 or the Pac-12 now, it was just, that's the best softball there was. So to play for, you know, Teresa Wilson was just an amazing experience to be on the West Coast, close to my family. Knowing that I was going to be, you know, on the West Coast and come to California a lot, it was really important to me. And the opportunity to, you know, compete for a national championship. So that's kind of some of the things I looked at, as well as, you know, a great education that I was going to get.
When did you know that you had this talent, you know, to play softball, that you were a special player, you know, somebody who was a cut above just the normal, you know, kid going out and playing softball?
You know, I was never really the most talented kid out there. I was always the kid who had to really work hard. I mean, I threw 5 to 6 days a week and practice, and a lot of that was my parents dragging me out there to practice. But at some point, you know, I knew if I worked hard enough, I was going to get the opportunities. And my work ethic is really kind of what helped me become, you know, the great player that I was.
After graduating, I think it was Cal State Northridge. I think you went and coached there a little bit. Did you think you might end up coaching, you know, at the college level? Was coaching something you wanted to do when you graduated?
When I was done, I kind of stepped away from softball. I went and did a couple different things. I tried to get into production and television, and I got married to my high school sweetheart, you know, modern day grad, class of 99, and we started a family. And so that piece just didn't really work out. And so the call to come back to softball kind of opened up. And the opportunity to go, and I coached at J. Sarah for a couple of years and then went to Cal State Northridge, and had the opportunity to work with college athletes and a program there that was, I really enjoyed the head coach. And so, you know, I really thought, okay, this is what I can do and be a softball college coach and go out recruiting. But for family, it's really difficult to be kind of out on the road. It's not just season. It's, you know, recruiting and all those kind of things. And so for me, a call came back to modern day and it was home. So I jumped at the chance to come back here.
You mentioned you know, going down, spent a couple of years at J. Sarah, coming here to modern day faith-based communities, schools, you know, with a strong, you know, Catholic background. You know, was that important to you too? And did that help in your journey as well?
Definitely. I mean, to be able to work at a place where you can have your faith, it totally makes the atmosphere different. And I think it's really important having that faith in that community as part of your culture, as part of the environment really does make a difference. And so it was important for me to be at a place where you can have all those things.
You coach softball here, you won a championship. Did you think that you would continue on coaching softball? Or you know, obviously, you took some higher jobs here at modern day. Was that call to do something more, just a little more appealing than maybe staying on and coaching athletics?
I love working with the kids, and I miss, and you know, kind of being able to go up now and be the director of athletics. I miss the interaction with the student athletes, but I now have the opportunity to affect more student athletes, which I think is really what I was looking to do. You know, the day in, day out with my girls, I treasure those moments. But now it's kind of opportunity to affect more people, which is what I'm looking forward to.
You got a chance to play in the national team too. What was it like to look around and see, you know, literally the greatest group of softball players in the nation, and know you were part of that?
It was such an amazing experience to be able to, you know, wear USA across your chest and to play. I mean, I played with many of the Olympic team members, and softball is such a small community, and I'm sure as many sports communities are. So getting to play with some of the best and be around the best, it just elevates your game and you can learn so much. So I really treasure those seasons that I was with the USA.
Being an athletic director at this school is much more than just your neighborhood high school. I mean, this really is like a college atmosphere in many ways. With a sports information department. Obviously, there's so many programs here are national level type teams. Day in, day out, I have to imagine that it's a busy day, which is much more than encompasses 8 hours for you.
Definitely. You know, but I've got a great team. I've got two great associates. I've got a great administration. And our coaches are amazing. So it's great to have the opportunity to work with our head coaches and they make, you know, the job a lot easier. But, you know, working here at Mater Dei, it is a privilege, and it also comes with a lot of responsibility. And so I look forward to, you know, having that and continuing to grow, you know, Mater Dei as a school and athletic department.
We're on campus on location here at Mater Dei High School, visiting with Tia Mesa, the athletic director here with the Mater Dei Monarchs. We talked with Coach Rawlinson. We talked with Coach Segesman. Coach McKnight is here on campus. I mean, these are big-time coaches here with big-time programs. Yeah, how much of an opportunity is it for you as well to learn from them and see how they've, you know, gone about their business over the years?
Definitely. I mean, the opportunity to work with some of these legendary coaches is fantastic. To, you know, the experiences they've had, the knowledge they have, and their willingness to share, I think, is great. And that's kind of what we're really trying to build up here within our, you know, department, is the sharing of knowledge. We're not competing for, you know, of course we're all looking for athletes, but really it's all of us trying to compete and grow and make Mater Dei as a whole better. So it's such a, you know, open atmosphere where you can have that relationship and communicate, that it's really special.
Is this a school that sells itself? I imagine on some levels it obviously does. Athletes know that, you know, where Mater Dei is here in the heart of Northern Orange County. But on the same token, too, I'm sure that there's a chance to have kids come in and really learn the inner workings of what this school is about, not just kind of on the periphery, but really at the heart of it.
Definitely. You know, Mater Dei, the name, you know, does sell itself a lot. But really, it's the other things that go along with it. It's knowing that, you know, your kids are going to get not only a great education, but a great atmosphere. They'll come out and be better people. And that's really, you know, what they have to look at. Families that come here just for one thing aren't always happy because, I mean, athletically, if, you know, they're not getting the playing time that they expect or they're not getting things, that's not going to be fulfilling. And so knowing that there's other things here that can make it a holistic experience, I think, is really what people who really embrace that are going to have, get the most out of Mater Dei that they can.
Tia, we want to thank you for joining us here on our Mater Dei special, and good luck. I know you've helped create this atmosphere at Mater Dei, and this program is just going to keep going.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bob. We really appreciate it, and all those Mater Dei fans out there, go Monarchs.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Catholic Sports View. You can find replays by going to OCCatholic.com/radio. And as always, you can catch us right here Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. on Immaculate Heart Radio. I'm Bob Gibson. We'll see you next week.
Diocese of Orange is excited to announce our new online store. The Orange County Catholic Bookstore has thousands of Catholic product offerings, from prayer cards to crucifixes, statues, and icons. Whether you're searching for that special devotional gift, products, or books that support your personal faith journey, or a beautiful image or statue for your home or business, please visit store.occatholic.com. Proceeds from purchases help to sustain the social outreach, educational, and pastoral ministry of the Diocese of Orange. Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.